Hey everyone, welcome back to the Society After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Lies, deceit, and new hope bring a whole new era to New Ham, and we have some special guests on the couch. So stay tuned and let's get buzzing on all things the Society.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
What's up, y'all? Welcome back to the Society After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Y'all, it's the finale show.
Hey,
we made it 9 and 10. It's the last part. And I'm so excited because look, it's a full panel, y'all.
Yes.
We're all here.
Yes.
Once again, please let me introduce my panel to my left over here. She's in the live chat. Please give it up for Drew Jones.
What's up, everybody? Talk to me, please.
Yeah, y'all are popping in the live chat, so yeah, shout out to that. Bringing all the good news, please give it up to Brianna Cheyenne.
Hey, everybody.
And over there, anchoring at the end, always with some of the top threes that we're going to be talking about later on, please give it up to Anais.
Oh my gosh, Becca, look at your baby. She is so cute. She looks like Campbell's love child.
Oh, here we got predictions already.
Shots fired.
Guns fired. Everything's out. And y'all, can I get a drum roll, y'all? Can I get a drum roll here? We got special guests, some intel for the Society, y'all. He plays Will. Please give it up for Jacques Colimo. And he plays Jason. He's one of the guards. You could love to hate him. Please give it up for Emilio Garcia Sanchez.
Yes.
What's up, y'all?
Yo, hey, what's going on, guys?
Y'all, thanks for having us.
The chat's going to be crazy right now.
For real. Yeah.
Really?
Is it popping off? Is it going crazy right now?
It just says, hi. Multiple times, and then yes, and then there we go.
I love the fans of our show, bro.
Dude,
I love the fans of our show.
Yes, they do.
They go hard with everything up in the DMs with all the memes.
Yo,
the memes
are amazing. Are on point.
Yes. You guys are all over the internet. We're breaking the internet with this show, and I'm really excited for y'all to be here. Shout out to Drew because she made this happen.
Yes,
thank you,
Drew.
Thanks for answering my DMs.
Yes, speaking of which, yes, thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
To start off, and I'm gonna start off with the panel, then I need to ask you guys this too in a different type of perspective. Overall thoughts, did season one end the way you anticipated it to end? And we're gonna ask you about the script if you read it and what you thought about it afterwards.
Okay,
do y'all think? Let's start with Drew.
I like when shows leave me saying like WTF or like kind of abruptly end, and I felt like this did that, and I'm really excited for a hopeful season two.
Right. I didn't even know we were at 10, and I was waiting for the thing to pop up automatically on Netflix.
Yeah.
Like, it's not coming up.
And then it recommended something else, and I was like, oh.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Brianna, what about you?
I'm really anxious because, like you said, I love cliffhangers. I love things that keep me guessing. Seeing the dog reappear, I'm like, oh, there's hope. Praise Jesus, there's hope. So I really need Netflix to bring back a season two.
Anais, what about you?
Well, I couldn't predict exactly how it's going to end, but I did want it to kind of leave me hanging, and it definitely did. I thought it was going to answer a lot more questions than they actually did, but... I don't know, it leaves me wanting more, so I like that.
Definitely. And now to you guys. Obviously, you guys got the script, you had the sides to read. Mm-hmm. When you saw the ending and knew how it was going to end, what did you guys think overall? Did you think it was the best way to go? Was there more that you wanted to see?
Oh, I think it's the best way to go, because you know, I love Chris's writing and Mark's direction. I think they definitely know what they're doing, and it's like they said in some of their interviews, it's like, Chris could have written a book. And then he decided to make a TV show instead. So I know he's got this aerial view. He's got all the keys to the city up in his back pocket right now. You know what I mean? And I think it's fun to be in the dark a little bit far as like where things are headed. And I like this feeling of like being suspended on this cliffhanger. You know, like I really don't know what could happen to Will and Allie or the dog or what's going on. Like it's cool. He's kept us
I mean, our theories are all over the place. Yeah. And like I said, we talked about the dog just a couple weeks ago. Because we said the dog was gone and we saw the dog again. Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie. Name is Charlie. He has a name and a lot of memes. Low-key, thanks to Jose.
Dude, Jose plays...
Gordy.
And he
Angry's his number one fan.
Right.
Yeah.
He started that hashtag. He started
spearheading
everything.
He is really doing all the footwork.
Oh,
all
passion.
I can't think of enough.
Seriously. Well, shout out. We got Jack.
He's both troll and meme dealer at once.
I love it, guys.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into it, because the show, the last episodes flowed really well into each other. From 9 to 10, it really just picked up and it kept on going. It could have been one whole 2-hour special, I would have watched it. Well, I did, obviously. But, you know what I mean? If it wasn't broken up, I would still be so interested in just seeing it.
Right.
Sure. L, that's a big deal. Because if L didn't tell her truth, this could have been a whole nother direction. Mm-hmm. Don't you guys think?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right? So L tells Helena in the church what's happening to her. And that's kind of where everything kind of spirals. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you see everything go down. Because we all know throughout the whole season, Campbell's been threatening her, right?
Mm-hmm.
That abusing. Must
have been, right, abusing, exactly.
And, like, following up on those threats. Like, there's physical stuff
and right. mental going on. And it's emotional. Serious.
Mental and emotional. I could just imagine how it was trying to film that, because that's such a deep type of topic to do.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is there is such a big ensemble of cast members. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. I mean, I knew from reading it and the table reads and stuff like that, but like the level that Olivia De Jong, who plays Elle, so what she was bringing to the table, like, I didn't know that until, you know, I saw it. And it was because we were very much in different worlds. I mean, she was literally imprisoned, and the guard didn't really, you know, get involved in that sort of mess. Or we did, I guess, but in kind of a different way.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, I have a question for you guys. Do you think if she... Since she did tell, do you think it could have gone another way? Like, it could have been approached differently from how Allie took it, and that's really what drove Campbell to do what he was doing, right? You think it could have been handled differently?
Honestly, knowing how scared she was and seeing how vulnerable and weak, I didn't really see it going any other way. It was very obvious that she was afraid of Campbell. She knew what he was capable of. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of inevitable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate that it backfired on her, but I thought it was a smart way because you weren't alerting the abuser that you're removing the abusee for him being an abuser.
Exactly.
But I hate that it kind of came back to bite them in the ass.
Right. And you have to tell this. Campbell, played by Toby, seems like the nicest dude, and he plays the most sinister character.
Oh, no, he's horrible. Like, we just... every day, it's just a new challenge.
Toby, I'm sorry. Yeah, dude, one of the sweetest, just... full of love, like, constantly playing music, and it's crazy. But then you see him, you see, like, the flip side of that, and you're like, yo, this guy's legit. But I felt that way. Honestly, I swear to God, I'm going a little bit of tangent. Mm-hmm. I felt that way about everybody coming on the show and just, like, seeing the talent level of all these, because we're all basically, like, you know, the same age, early 20s, young actors, bringing that heat, especially with Toby, you know. It's
I didn't know half of you were Australian.
First
of all.
Okay, hold up.
Like, four of us.
But I was shocked when, because AfterBuzz was at your all's red carpet, and when I was watching the interviews, I was like,
you heard the accent.
Did not see that.
It's a testament to their talent.
It really is.
There is a question I kind of want to piggyback off what you said. Yeah. Is there a character, like, watching back, is there a character that you guys kind of related to in a way that wasn't your own in the show?
After watching it, it really kind of...
Watching it.
You want to take this one first, or you want me to go?
He's thinking.
He's thinking. Smash Bros. This is my favorite. I gotta say, everyone always says Campbell, and that's not... I'm not gonna go that route. I want to say Becca. I think she handles things like the best out of everybody, and she has so much on her plate already with the pregnancy and all that. But just really just being like nonstop investigating, you know, documenting all the things. I think out of everybody, she handles it like the most mature. Ooh. Shout out to Gideon.
And she's her character is like the most uncertain because she's pregnant. They don't got doctors. Yeah. She could have a baby. Yeah. Her baby could be in danger. She could be in danger.
She is low-key. To carry a baby for 9 months and nobody knows?
Yeah. I'm just, like, one thing I was thinking about, I was watching the show, you know, like, towards the end, I was like, I was just surprised there was no more, like, pregnancies, because I feel like hormonal teenagers, where's the contraception?
No, it's like, that's something I was bringing up, I would think there would
be way more pregnant people. I'm just saying, I don't
we
know.
Talked about this though, because I guess if you're teenagers, you guys are lonely. It seems like when there's a problem,
there's gonna be hookups
or sex just makes everything a lot better.
I mean, that church had a whole lot of debauchery going on. Like, yo, come on,
it wasn't even a church anymore.
People be procreating. We do a 6-month time jump, but I don't think, you know, you never know what other stories, what's going on, you know, in other houses. That
save that for the next season.
Exactly.
Suddenly there'll be like 15.
We have we have doubled our population. Now what do we do? It's like we get opposite babies. Thanos or something like that, right?
But
like,
you got to shout out to Gordon and Kelly though, right? Because
they're amazing.
We gotta shout out to Gordy and Kelly, though, right? Because yeah. they're doing that thing to try to make everything a little bit more peaceful and a little bit better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I relate to Gordy, actually. Mm-hmm. I think, to answer your question from before, I think it's, like, somewhere between Gordy and Grizz, because I'd be out there exploring. I'd be trying to, like, find out what we could do, where if that, you know, perimeter forest and stuff really does just, like, have a threshold, or and then, like, also just, like, asking these big questions of the universe, like, where the stars at? What's happening with this eclipse? Right. What's going on with these, like, cosmic events? And, like,
that was every episode, bro.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, me too.
Maybe this is what happened.
I'm a nerd about that kind of stuff. I love science fiction. I love, you know, like, these, like, bigger questions that, you know, people start asking each other. Right? That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
We're in the right place.
Exactly. You're right at home.
What's the chat saying? Because I keep on seeing it move. Yeah. There's so much going on.
There is a theory about... the baby daddy, and they think that Jason is the baby daddy.
Oh, no way.
We gotta call him. I can see that.
Can you see that?
I can see it.
Why can you see that?
I can see it because Becca is so antisocial. It's like she's almost afraid to be around you guys, meaning like the guards.
Yeah.
Like every party, she's not around. Yeah. Any social gathering, she's never around. Yeah, and I think it goes past her naturally being antisocial and being an introvert. I think she generally just wants to avoid someone, and I think she wants to avoid you.
I feel like it's somebody.
What?
What happened? Jesus.
What's the other guy? The
Clark.
I think it's Clark.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. I think it's Clark. But because y'all be thinking it's the guard, though.
Because like, that's shady.
Because the actor, he
I'll
seems,
tell you why, though. I'll
he
tell you
seems
why.
Super shady. Nice, but Clark is kind of trash.
Clark, really?
I like the actor. He seems peachy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Clark,
he is.
I don't know. I mean, I might be embarrassed, too, to be knocked up by Clark.
No, because Clark's on the
edge.
Yeah,
he's an idiot.
Like, you know what I mean? He's on the edge of things. You don't know if he's going to be good one day, or you don't know if he's on the other
level.
The Dewey situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, wasn't he in the same room when Lexi was...
That was Jason.
You were
Dumb and Dumber.
The Lexi situation. We're not going to take it on you personally, right. But Jason could grow. Could do better.
And the only reason why I don't think it's you... That's because why would she be ashamed of that?
Also,
the character.
Family. Thank you.
Whoa, you would
have gone. Thank you, my gangster.
You shined so hard.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, I feel like you would be told. Like, that's not the worst teenage baby.
I think
Will
would be
have.
A fabulous father. And you know why? Because he's a foster kid. Exactly. He knows what it's like to not have those parental role models. So he'll be damned if, like, he's not going to be able to provide that for somebody.
Exactly. Statistically, you know? Yeah, statistically speaking, most foster kids who have kids later want to take care of their kids so well, more than they could ever, you know, because they never had it growing up.
Yeah.
It's just like when you go from 0 to 100, when you're, a struggling entrepreneur to getting your first million, you usually end up buying everything because and making sure you keep on going with your money because you never had it before. So you want to make sure it keeps on going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's when you don't have something, you usually want to share it afterwards.
Exactly. And make sure that it stays. And
I also saw a theory that was saying that Luke was probably the dad. So pretty much everyone on the guard, except Grizz.
There's literally a theory for everyone.
Guard's on the hot seat, bro. God.
You wonder why.
You
never know with those guys what they're, capable of.
You gotta love it.
It's true.
But, I mean, so...
Y'all are unpredictable. Y'all are fiery.
So Elle's truth, as I mentioned, kind of brought the whole episode 9 and 10 to what it is or whatnot, but also the election.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's time to elect somebody to be the leader. Multiple people are interested, but we have Harry up for mayor against Allie because of our homie, Campbell. Who said Was that you? That was you.
Am I in a collective black girl?
It was a collective. Okay.
You know, was it like a or was it
like a
It was lower. Yeah, exactly. It was it was definitely disappointing. Elaborate on your
My it's typical Campbell. I'm intrigued by Campbell.
Right.
His actions are despicable.
But they speak to her.
But
if you saw a couple
they
episodes,
don't speak to me. I don't relate.
Play that clip.
We're getting put on blast. I know. Okay, you can say your because
I don't recall. What was my... No, actually, the election reminded me why I like this show so much, because it, secretly feeds you government and,
There's a lot of political.
It's very educational.
Yes.
Because I'm a big history politics freak, whatever. But like having my 15-year-old brother watch the show, and him being like, "Yo, bro, socialism's like a thing." I'm like,
"Yo, we need our historical political freaks.
I'm like, "Let's go."
We need all of our people out
here.
It
was just funny watching the election because there are certain people who reminded me of certain politicians from this previous election. Yes. And I was like...
I wouldn't doubt that the
not that we're naming any names.
Not that we're naming any names,
right.
And Campbell is kind of like that guy that moves in the shadows, and you know there are definitely shadowy figures in the government that makes moves, so...
Exactly, there's always... There's something crooked sometimes behind people that you would never think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Sad to say.
Well, sometimes when I'm looking at Will, I'm like, this dude's an FBI agent.
Yeah.
Oh, like, so you're just coming up with fans just want to hold to the theory right now.
He's not gonna, he's not gonna narc himself.
Puzzle.
That's true. He got some stuff going on.
But seriously, the parallels that this show has makes it such a joy to work on.
Yeah.
There are a lot of teen dramas out there, and I'm not ragging on any of them.
They're all great. They're all
They're all super fantastic and it paved the way for us to do it. But it's really so cool to be reaching a younger audience and talking about some real ass stuff.
And you're making them think, which is the best part, because you're talking about social issues that people still are scared to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have teen pregnancy, you have abuse, you have foster kids.
Mm-hmm.
And usually it's never all in, it's on specials. Like, each episode has one dedicated to that. This is a whole plethora of that. Plus, you guys are orphaned and abandoned, and you can kind of move into a mind where you think, what are teenagers going to do in this case? What could really, really happen? How fast do you have to grow up? You know what I mean? And some people really do have to grow up like that.
Yeah. Well, and it's building on the premise of a Lord of the Flies kind of thing.
Right.
But then, with a lot of
Battle
women
Royale.
Writers,
Battle Royale.
So Battle Royale.
Yeah. That's my favorite movie.
What is this, Fortnite? No, I'm just kidding. it's also, a lot of the writers are women, too. So it's taking, it's kind of extracting a lot of the heart of Lord of the Flies and that Battle Royale standpoint. But then, kind of shifting the POV towards a different perspective that we didn't have with that kind of, book necessarily. There's a lot of testosterone in Lord of the Flies, and that's still to say that it's certainly present in the society, but I think it's in conflict with some other very fundamental energies. You know what I mean?
No, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's why we like it, because we could talk about it so much, and there's so many layers to everything. Especially like we said, the election. There's a coup that's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's called coup d'état.
Coup d'état.
Oh, I said it right.
And if we got teenage level, there's going to be a coup d'état. Like, I heard about this talking in English class. We're like, bet. This is where we're at.
I mean, there's a coup happening. And like, you think about it right now, there's a revolution happening in Sudan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we've seen, right? We talked
factual
today. Yeah. Like, there's things going on to this date where it's paralleling right at this moment in time. And you can just go ahead and put two and two together, and you can see the effects or whatnot, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Paranoia, that kind of stuff that's going on, too. It's like fear of thy neighbor, and stuff like that. I think we are exploring all of that.
It also makes us, it's like good to see like how lucky we are to be where we are and to have the voice that we have or whatnot.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because sometimes when you're in that situation, it's just hard.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen.
I think that's what I really hope for with this show, is that it sort of turns a mirror. Like, the situation in Sudan is heartbreaking, but I also hope that the audience, looks in the reflection, and looks at, the American history and all those parallels as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every revolution starts right here.
Get it.
It's getting deep.
Come on with the come on.
Hey, we didn't come here to not spit fire.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, panel, how did you feel when the coup... I mean, I saw this from a mile away, obviously, when we knew that Campbell was up to no good. Mm-hmm. And because of the fact that he wants to have Elle back in his life, he's going to do anything to do that, right?
Yeah.
How did you guys feel when the coup actually began and how they took Luke in... Without really, I felt bad. That dude had no backbone for a second. But where would you be at that point if you had no way out?
What do you think, Drew?
I'm processing it. I'm gonna let someone else go.
Yeah, because I have to process that too.
It's hard because, I mean, I felt like Luke was, like, he wanted to, do the right thing and not.
Right.
But I felt like he had no choice at that point because maybe something was gonna happen to him and he was kind of protecting
it's
himself,
more than just
maybe.
Peer pressure, right?
I also think it kind of shows that, for instance, the reflection of this election, it kind of drew, like, this line was drawn in the sand, and people were like, you're either good because you voted for so-and-so, or you're a bad person because you... And that's not necessarily true for some people.
There's, no common ground.
They thought that they were doing the best thing for everyone, even though, obviously... as we see in this episode, it doesn't play out like how it needs to. So I think in Luke's case, he really did think like he's making the best move possible for everyone involved, even though it was clearly wrong.
And I think he was just trying to protect himself.
Protecting himself. Yeah. I think there's ego conventions.
And also, I think you're protecting Helena, because it's one of those things sometimes where it's like, if you don't work with us, we're going to not just hurt you, but hurt the people you love in a way.
Exactly. It's a tough spot to be in or whatnot. So, like, what would you... Okay, here's a question for y'all. What would you decide in that case? Would you be like, all right, no, forget it. I'm really, really out. You can't stop me from being out. Or would you sit your ass down like Luke did and... be with it, be about it, because you almost had no choice.
Oh, no, I'd be outie.
Oh, that was quick.
The second I saw homeboy Harry, like, coming out here and being like, no, we're gonna rule, and, like...
For sure. If we're talking about us personally,
Absolutely. Especially if we're bringing high school dynamics back, I'm like, boy, you had that house, you had that car, you had everything, and now you're freaking out because it's all gone, and now you want to rule and take back what's yours?
Yeah.
Where have I heard that before?
It's a little bit different.
No, no, fam. Like, I'm out in the woods planting my crew. Right.
For sure.
You know?
What I always find really interesting about all these characters is yes, they are kind of moving through this new world selfishly, especially towards the end of the season, but it's really hard to pinpoint a bad guy. Yeah. As rotten as Campbell is, and he's only doing what he thinks he needs to do to survive.
Survival.
The same thing with the guard and Jason and Allie, is as everyone's just trying to survive and figure it out. And I think that's, you know, probably why everything's crumbling towards the end, is because it's very much this sort of, like, you know, rather than a communal sort of build.
You're spitting some, like, Aldous Huxley logic.
I don't know,
there,
man.
Like,
it's exciting.
Because, nobody can truly be valorized or villainized, right?
No,
at the end of the play, everybody takes off their masks.
And everyone, at this point, they're young kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're put in a weird, tough situation where...
playing off emotion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thinking it's a game, but it's real life, and you have to live with your choices. Mm-hmm. But they're still growing up. Right? Now, before we move on, guys, Drew has something to say, and let the people know, Drew.
I do have something to say. We just want to thank you guys so much for rocking with us this entire season, for supporting AfterBuzz, for showing us love, for showing us some of these crazy fan theories. But if you want us to continue to keep it pushing with all these other shows, we want you to go ahead and subscribe right now. I'll give you a second.
Let's go.
Cool. You got a second. Like it. Comment. Tell us what you think of the show. Tell us what other shows you want us to cover here at AfterBuzz TV. We're on Spotify. We're on iTunes. It's still called iTunes, right?
iTunes. It's still iTunes until whenever they say they're going to be done.
I don't know. I'm an old head. But anyway, subscribe to both of them. You know, we're Android friendly here at AfterBuzz TV. Wow. But for now, thank you guys so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk and for, you know, rocking with us for so long.
Yes. And y'all are doing so well in the chat. Can you shout some people out in the chat, please?
Yes. Apparently, someone has a society tattoo.
Oh,
yeah. And I told them.
What? Yes. You haven't seen that?
I told them to tweet it to me so I can show you guys.
It's
I need to get a society tattoo.
It's a Grizz. It's a Grizz tattoo from a girl named...
He's like a doll.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A girl named Isabel. So shout out to Isabel. She has a Grizz tattoo that I will show you guys as soon as they send it to me. They are currently casting you guys...
That's
as trying to put you in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
You guys are gonna make me cry.
They casted you as Miles.
Absolutely.
But they also,
I'm loving this.
Also casted you as Peter Parker.
What?
Yeah, and then there's someone from DC that they casted. DC's Blue Beetle.
Oh, Blue Beetle's awesome.
Guys. I love Blue Beetle. Yeah. He's one of the very few, like, Latino superheroes.
Yes.
He was a sidekick of Batman for a little bit. I really appreciate that. Honestly, that was straight to my heart.
Okay.
Whoever said that.
Just tweeted it to me, so I will get that in just a second. But shout out to you guys. Noreen, Isabel, April, Get Out, Blonde Days, Keith Lee.
So
Keith Lee was in my DMs today.
What up, Keith Lee?
They have a big Emilio Instagram account where they make lots of memes for you. Ben Wee Hargreaves is their Instagram. So they dedicated their Instagram to you.
Thank you, guys.
Wow. You know you've made it when someone dedicates an Instagram to you.
Well, this man is like a Latino Superman out here.
I love you.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
Support
him.
I'm here
for
you.
All the love. Thank you.
You better get it, man.
Honestly,
so much going on. Yes, and once again, thank you guys for chatting with us and letting us know what you guys think, and always hitting us up in the DMs, letting us know what you think in the comments as well too. We love fan interaction with you guys, especially with us, because there's so much to talk about per usual. Now, obviously, we saw what happened in the election. Quick note, Lexi. Revenge.
Lexi.
I want to really like her because I know she's coming from a spot where she's really, really hurt from That's what right. happened.
She is.
She's really hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I feel like she's running so much on emotion. You can't be a leader if it's just purely emotion. You have to have kind of a balance of, you know, compassion for people, but also logic. 100%. Be intelligent. I don't know if she's the smartest.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to tell because she's so emotional.
Right.
She's like, yeah, she's a little too emotional.
100%. I don't know where mind is exactly.
I thought Allie was a better leader than her. Even though she maybe didn't have all the answers, I felt like she was more fair than Lexi's just more just emotional.
But it's crazy to see how far
that's how she comes out.
Yeah, it's crazy to see how far you can get with emotion. Like, I know a lot of dictators that went straight to the top just purely on passion
and
alone.
She also kind of knows those. Even though she might not, I feel like she's not maybe the smartest person, I feel like she still knows what to say to get the people on her side.
Right. Yeah. It's like Amelia said, if you're writing on emotion, people are going to feed off that because everyone's unstable at this point.
Yeah.
You're six months out, you know, maybe more than 6 months.
More than
out?
6 months.
More than 6 months out. 6 months out, and you don't know when you're going to go home yet. So she's feeding on those. I mean, and sadly to say, people do that. People feed on people's fear.
And that's what it is. And I think it's an opportunity to introduce terms like demagogue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Authoritarianism.
Right. Exactly.
You know, because I think she's a demagogue. Textbook.
That quote, what Ali told Lexi, like, you're half right about everything, which makes you dangerous.
Right.
That is so true.
If you're more dangerous than you really would be if you were just right about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, that's hard. You have to try to work and compromise to learn with each other and to kind of work with each other. But at this point, there's just so many. There's too many heads that want to become the head, right?
Yeah,
I think they're gonna figure it out. Hopefully, because
give a shout out to the characters that didn't buy into it real quick, like Grizz, and I think Gretchen was the only one. She was like, "I don't believe you." There's only I feel like there should
I
be
love
more of
Gretchen.
Them,
Gretchen's one of my favorite sleeper characters. If you really follow her arc, she's this really quiet, timid, like really shattered glass sort of thing, and she's the Gretchen's one at fire. The very end who like stands up against this, you know, soon to be tyrant, which is really, really inspiring to me.
The thing is, people feel what she's feeling; they're just too scared to say it.
Yeah, and that's why it's so admirable, because it's easy to fall in line.
Really quick, guys. We talked about this tattoo, and we just found it.
You guys turn around to the monitor.
That is little Grizz.
Oh, my
gosh. You guys
have
seen this
at home. That is so cute. Yeah.
Has Jack seen it?
Yeah, he has.
I totally
sent it to him.
Did he respond? Is he?
Yeah, no, we've all commented. I think a lot of people from the cast commented on the Instagram post.
How does that feel for you guys to have, like, these fans who like go hardcore for you guys, like,
I mean, that's
with
where,
tattoos like, and Instagram accounts dedicated to you.
That's like right here.
I think it's on their sleeve.
That's pretty heavy metal.
Wow.
Yo, that is on permanent.
It's forever.
That's what you're. Yeah, it's forever.
Honestly, that's mad love. Like that is huge, and I'm honestly super grateful that they're just so passionate about it, dude. And I'm all for body art too, tattoos. Switch it up.
Me too.
Live one life.
I got my own body art stuff.
And it's super cute too. It's not even like his face realistically. It's like
it's
a Grizz doll.
Cute.
I wish I remembered. I'm doing terrible. There is an artist who drew this little cartoon. Little Grizz doll, and it's like, I think it's Jose and maybe Drake holding this Grizz doll.
I saw that too.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, the fan art has been like outstanding.
Yeah,
it's been great. So there's just been such an influx of like,
does that like because like as what Drew said, like everything changed for you guys, you know what I mean, with this with this one show. You guys, you went to school for acting, you went to Cal Arts, you know, your IMDb dates back to 2009. You've been at it. You guys work production.
My God. That's a decade.
I was in like that 5 million slot on that star meter on IMDb. I had a moment because I was like, man,
the 5,000 slot, brother, you were up there.
Like 500.
See?
500.
Okay,
I was in top 500. I was like, man, it blew my mind because I was out in like the 5 million slot back in 2009, and I was like struggling at like independent film, you know, companies and stuff like that, shooting weddings, business promos, anything I could do to stay in the industry. And then I had a moment where I was like, man, that's it.
Which is so dope, because that means you guys have been through the journey that everyone of these actors ourselves have gone through, where we don't know if we're going to make it. We don't know what's going to happen. You've done the production jobs. You know what I mean? You tried to work your way up. You're writing. You're doing all this stuff, producing your own work. And now you're here. How does that feel? Like,
it's just like, so
affirming. I hate to say overnight success. Like, I hate that term overnight success.
And,
right?
This is what I want to touch on. Because it wasn't. Because, and you can check on his IMDb, and I can tell you personally that, like, this has been 10 years in the making, and we're nowhere near. Sure. I can confidently say that we're nowhere near where, you know, where we want to be or whatever. But, like, so for all, you know, my young, like, aspiring actors or people that are really curious, I think a lot of people do reach out and they're like, yo, how do I do it? And it's like, dude, you hustle. You do every single gig imaginable for 10 years. 100%. And then someone says, you're an overnight,
you know, and especially young actors of color. Like, y'all heck just gotta believe in yourself. Like, because
it's such a good time to be a young actor of color. Yeah. It's like Hollywood is the one profession now where being a straight white male is actually a disadvantage. Yeah. Every other business, if you're a straight white male, compare this to like the 90s or the 80s, we're getting work. You know, it's a slow grind, guys. It's day by day.
We got a boom, 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 boom. You hear that?
Did I curse?
What no. It was like the air horn.
Did I
curse? Like the dance hall air horns.
Yes.
One time, though. One time.
One time for the one time. Kind of going off of that, being two men of color and playing roles that don't pertain to you being Latino or you being black, like, how does that feel to have, like, a boxless role?
Yo, it's like this is a dream come true, honestly. And I'm most inspired by unboxable people. Mm-hmm. I all of my mentors are very mercurial, multi-hyphenate artists that refuse to be put in a black or white box, in a straight or gay box, in any kind of box, in gender and race or anything. It's like, that's where I think love is in that uncertainty, in that fluidity, in all of that. And like, people gotta identify however they want. And I think, like, with these roles that aren't explicitly necessarily highlighting the topic of race and just hammering it down, people are able to make their own associations and make their own conclusions about how these things play into these dynamics. And I think that's so important, especially with young people that are like figuring out themselves and their own relationship to the world.
And I love that, because it's almost in a sense like blind casting. You're coming in, there's a character. I don't need a specific role for this. I need somebody who can sell the character's persona to me. 100%. And I feel like that's what all of you guys did. Yes, there were social, economical issues and things we saw in between some of the characters or whatnot. But nonetheless, it was all about the personality with a lot of these characters. And like you said, you keep on saying ensemble cast, because it was an ensemble cast. Everyone seemed to be a breakout star here in their own right, which is amazing. And it's also really hard to see for a lot of shows that come out. No shade to any of these shows. You know what I mean? But there's only a few that I could think of off the top of my head. Another one I really like is On My Block. And I think those actors are really, really
good. Shout out to On My Block.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's such a good ensemble cast. And I think you guys deliver the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So claps.
I was just curious about the audition process. Did they seek you out, or, you know, when you went to audition, did you know what it was? Was it kind of a more of a secret project, or you knew exactly what you were going for?
It was pretty secretive. We didn't have a title for like the first couple of months. It was just the untitled Chris Kaiser project for like a really long time.
We were joking that that's how it was going to come out on Netflix. Yeah. Like, untitled Chris Kaiser project.
Even while we were reading scripts and stuff like that. The audition process was crazy. I mean, it's always really crazy. I know that's a bad answer.
It's always crazy. We actors, we out here.
Honestly, I actually have video footage, not of my audition, but if you go on, I'm going to talk about social media, I'm sorry. If you go on my Instagram, and there's a little like highlight called A Day in the Life, one of those callbacks was for this show. And for me personally, I remember, not that I didn't want this show, but I kind of like did it and was really busy at the time and was going through a lot last year, and I kind of was just in the back of my mind, and I was working on a theater show at the time at Long Beach at ICT, and my agent just called and said, hey, you're going to Boston.
I kind of love that, man.
That's just like, wait, what show is this? And they're like, The Untitled Chris Kaiser Project. What? That's a weird name.
And you gotta love that, because that's New Hope. You know what I mean? That kind of segments into, like, the last part of the 9-10 episodes that we were gonna talk about, is that there's New Hope that was found. Mm-hmm. There was farmland that was found in this episode. Mm-hmm. These episodes, there is livestock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That turkeys. Was found in these episodes, right? Yeah,
turkeys. How easy is it to catch a live turkey?
You know what I mean? They had fish, had everything. A new baby was born, Eden, from Becca. You know what I mean? And we got to see a little bit, there was a clue with Pfeiffer that we've been talking about, and it showed at the end, and then we got a snippet of what might be the old world, the current world, we don't know what world it is, but there's hope for what's to come, and it's not over. Yes, there are stuff we probably just don't want to happen, with Allie and you being in jail, but I feel like y'all are smart.
You'll figure it out.
You're gonna figure that out, and all that other stuff. But, you know, I'm pretty sure you guys are great, amazing.
Yes.
10 episodes, and I can't wait for more from that.
I'm just wondering about Elle. I feel, because, you know, she went back, she kind of, like, basically did whatever Campbell said at the end, and I'm just like, is this her kind of plan to kind of be on his good side, and then somehow she's going to try to, I don't know, get rid of him or something, kind of, like, playing along with him.
Yeah, she has to play along.
What did she say? She said, quote, unquote, I'll make sure you get what's coming to you, spits in Allie's face, but gives her a look.
Yeah, that look, I saw
a
look.
I mean? And I was gives like, her a look. Like, girl, I got you. Take this spit as a sign of I got you.
And she went along with it.
Which is easier said than done. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Because my initial reaction was just a swing. I was watching that, I was like,
Will's initial reaction was almost a swing. He's like, whoa, 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 that's Allie like spitting on. Come on now.
Speaking of Will, I have a question.
Yeah, I have an answer.
I hope you do, because this is a burning question. I need to know, what do you think is Will's obsession with basically always wanting what he can't have? Because, and this is where I'm going with this, but
what you want.
But you tend to get what you want. You finesse your way in there, because this is the thing. When Allie was giving you all the attention, you weren't feeling it, because you were into Kelly. And then you get Kelly, you guys hook up, and then shortly after, all of a sudden, you got eyes for Allie, when Allie wasn't really checking for you as hard. So
she
I just want to know.
And
I think Will.
She totally sounds like. I was gonna say, you sound just like Allie's, like you're Allie's best friend. You're
What's going on?
I need to know. Like, what do you think?
I think Will's a Virgo. Maybe.
What do you think? Don't give him. Don't help him.
Is that Will's sign?
Thank you, Lord.
What do you think?
Yo, I mean, me, Jacques, I'm all about astrology. And when you immediately said that Will's a Virgo, I'm like holding your hand. I'm like right there. I'm like, because yes, Virgos never know what they want. Virgos are the most indecisive people on planet Earth. And I think it's also come in at the intersection of Will being a boy.
Yeah.
And being immature.
Baby.
And I think that he's baby. In high school, I think you never know what you really want.
I think it's a typical thing for young guys.
That's okay.
So he's just being a guy.
He's
being young.
He's being a young guy.
Young and inexperienced. Everything that's happening.
But I think, too, it's important that you bring up he's just being a guy, because I think that's a part of toxic masculinity that Will does actually play into a little bit.
Exactly.
And that's problematic.
And that's what I wanted to lead into.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think it's something that... It stands as a testament to Kelly's character as this person that's able to, like, check him, basically, but with love.
Yeah.
And say, like, you know, I'm going to nurture this mistake that you may have made, but you were following your heart, and I see that.
Right.
You know, and I think that's kind of the reaction that Kelly has. But I think with Will, I've experienced this in life, too, where, like, you are... suddenly in love with your best friend, you know, and there's this both like freedom to that, and then also this intense fear.
Okay, Jason Mraz.
You'd be like, yo, but what if I mess this up?
Yeah.
There's way too much at stake because that's my best friend. That's my best friend. Right. You know, and like you want to like always have that person in your life, but then when you feel that attraction, it's also undeniable, and you're like,
it's a live and learn situation. You know? Some people learn the hard way. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. You can't.
The heart wants what it wants.
The heart wants what it wants. And fate is true.
Love is chaotic, love is uncertain, but love is wild and beautiful.
Fate's a wild ride. You never know.
But you wanted to talk about the toxic masculinity part of it.
Oh, well, so, the fact that you brought it up, because I just wanted to recognize, like, because Will is a favorite. That's no problem. And he's not a bad guy. Mm-hmm. But I do want to make sure there is accountability acknowledged at the fact that Will is a nice guy, but he makes the same mistakes that all young guys make.
And that's the thing I think a lot of these characters do, which people can relate to and kind of see and probably go through themselves, especially if they're around that age.
Sure.
Exploring, figuring things out, dating for the first time ever, being in serious relationships, having sex for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. That was talked about on this show as well, too. You know what I mean? Religious backgrounds, all that other stuff, too.
It's a little bit of that, like, I never did this before.
Allie hit it on the head when she said, like, you want to do it when you have the time, when it's on your time. And I thought that was dope, because women always put themselves to the side and put themselves second for their man.
So. And really quick, I want to go to Anais, because we were talking about this, and there's a lot of relationships that go on this show, and a lot of friendships we love as well, too. We had a top three type of situation that we wanted to kind of deliver. Can you go ahead and deliver that, Anais?
Sure. So here are the top three hashtag relationship/friendship goals from the society. So number three, we have either Kasori or Gorsandra. I don't know what name you guys want to use, but
that's the sexiest one. Obviously.
I thought they were. What do you guys think about them? I thought they were, super cute. Because
I love them.
I felt so bad that they finally kind of had their chance to kind of be together, and then bang bang. I would have liked to see more of that. Rest in peace, Cassandra. Number two, we have either Sekka or Beckham. Sam and Becca. Just Beckham. I don't know. Just stepping up and,
Sam rides for Becca.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I'm a good friend. I don't know if I'm that good.
I'm putting my life on hold for 18 years.
So, Sam, props to you. And our number one has got to be hashtag Grizam.
I mean,
hello.
Yeah, that's everywhere.
It broke the internet.
It got Jack on Instagram.
Is it true? I heard that Jose had changed the Wikipedia page for the society to be all about Grizz.
Changed his own Instagram page to be all about Grizz. It was went all hands.
We just love them. So many cute moments. Grizz learning sign language for him.
That's dedicated.
And then, oh my gosh, when Sam wipes the tear away, that little oh my gosh, I don't know if that was improvised or what.
It's dedicated, y'all. You gotta love it. You got to love it.
Hopefully they can find a way to, be together, because I know the Becca thing kind of...
I think they're gonna find a way.
Love, I have a feeling they're gonna work it out.
I think so, too.
Love always finds a way.
I mean, speaking purely from a fan perspective, I want them to work
out. Absolutely. Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Like, you'd be crazy.
We're all rooting for Grizz.
The whole damn world's rooting for that. Yeah.
They have to work out.
And I think if Will knew about it, he'd be on board with it, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'd be like,
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to bring it off to Brianna, because we do have some news that we want to talk about. Because there's some projects and some things people are working on that we want to kind of get to know, right?
Yes, and as much as I love the time I have with you guys reporting the news, it's going to be all about Mr. Emilio here. Because, I'm putting all the spotlight on you. So I'm going to give you a quick intro. So basically, you produced and wrote Miho.
Yes.
And I want you to tell everyone, it's going to come out in 2020. That's a 2020 project.
Yeah, we're going to do the whole festival circuit thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we need all the details on what it's about, what it was like to produce and write.
Yeah. Well, Miho is based on a true story about when I was a little kid and how I would use my imagination to sort of escape my reality, which wasn't always rainbows and butterflies. Mm-hmm. I had never written anything before. I'd never produced anything before. But I knew coming off the society that I wanted to exercise other creative muscles and, try different things. I know that, I want to tell my story very much so. A lot of us talk about diversity and how important that is, and it is, but I think not too many of us are actually stepping up to the plate and making stuff. Mm-hmm. You just want to be included in everybody else's work, but you really have to take the initiative. Mm-hmm. So I started with something that I know, which is just this memory of me being a kid and running to a bakery and trying to buy some bread. I don't want to spoil anything away, but I will say one thing that really excites me about this project is there is a layer of animation. Ooh. So every time the the child goes into their imaginative state. We're going to, like, superimpose animation all around them. So it's, like, going to be very, like, woo. Okay. Yeah. And it was just it was a joy and very challenging process, but I'm super proud of it. And, yeah, we're in post-production right now, and I'm super excited.
Nice. Congratulations. Oh, thank you. That's amazing.
Thank you, guys. Yes. A lot of dope things happening, y'all.
Yeah.
But I'm sad to say... That is our time.
Oh, no
way.
Yes. Yes. That went by so fast.
That went by so fast. There was so much.
This isn't a watch.
There's so much we need to talk about.
Well, you guys, me too, then.
We love it. We love it. And before we go, you know what I mean? Like, we plugged what we plugged what's going on with Miho and all that other good stuff. Mm-hmm. Jacques, is there anything you want to plug before we sign on out and everything like that? Is there anything your Instagram, just projects you might be working on in your head or whatnot? Or, you know, more about the society, let us know real quick.
Oh, yo, I got so much going on. Y'all ain't even ready. It's going to blow some people's minds, guaranteed. I'm working on music. I had a screenwriter write a feature-length horror script on spec for the first time, and I was just going through the first draft of that. I'm involved with two other projects I'm really excited about that I can totally see connect the conversation. Yeah, I'm in the mix for so many things. And it's just
we're excited.
Yo,
don't give me words.
Constantly creating.
It's the constant flow. And I think, you know, like I'm also just so open to like what people want to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I read my DMs, I read my comments, and I'm looking for those next young people. I follow this kid. Shout out to Philip Yeoman. Because
he's the only guy you follow.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the only guy.
So I'm throwing him all the love. That he's 19 years old. He just won the Tribeca Award for Best Film for his movie Burning Cane, which is about kind of exploring and disarming toxic masculinity in the Southern Black religious community.
Oh,
and it's a very intense film and needed. Exactly.
Needed.
And it's just like making waves. And I remembered meeting him in New York at a screening of this movie, and I was like, bro, like I want to like just like be his big brother in so many ways. And I'm like, dude, if we got to make something, whatever you need, like I'm around. And so like I'm interested in like just kind of like if I got a spotlight, like y'all the fans made this whole thing, so it's whatever you want to see. You know what I mean? As far as I'm concerned, because this is ours.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, man.
You know?
Nice.
So, I love
Thank
you guys.
Thank you so
I'm
much.
So excited for what the future holds for you guys. Mm-hmm. And, you
Absolutely.
Know, that is the after show. I'm really sad. But it's your boy, Nino, and you can catch me at Nino Lanera on Instagram, Twitter, on Facebook. Panel, please let them know where they can find you.
And I'm Drew Jones. You guys can slide into the DMs anywhere at OKDrewJ.
I am Brianna Cheyenne. You can catch me on Instagram at IamB_Cheyenne.
I'm Anais. You can find me on Instagram at MoreThanYouThink7, also on the Swamp Thing after show and the new All That after show starting on Sunday. And we already have guests on for it.
So. And fellas, please throw out your Instagram and your socials as well, too. Jacques?
Yo, Instagram, Jacques Collimon. JACQUESCOLIMON.
Perfect.
Boom.
Emilio, what about you, brother?
Yeah, you guys can follow me at Emilio, EMILIO.GS on Instagram.
Nice.
Perfect, guys. Well, thank you guys so much for rocking with us.
Thank you so much.
We will see you next season. I'm just throwing it out there.
We'll see you next season. Hey, Juju.
Deuces, y'all.
Thanks, y'all.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.